And if you would, please, let's open our Bibles this morning to the Old Testament book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 3. The book of Joshua, chapter 3. Since the early times, it has been documented how that the Arab people would actually be able to navigate their way through trackless deserts. If you've ever been to a desert or ever seen a picture of a desert, you will notice that there are no 7-Elevens on every corner. There's nowhere to stop and ask for directions. You get the idea? In the very same way, I have read that the ancient mariners would be able to navigate themselves from one place to another, again, across bodies of water that are totally unmarked. No street signs in the middle of the ocean saying turn left 1 mile or whatever, you know. None of that. Rather, those old-timers, both the Arabs and the mariners, were able to navigate deserts. They were able to navigate their way across the ocean simply by getting their directions from either the sun or from the stars. And they would look at those heavenly bodies, and from that they would be able to navigate the way to where they wanted to go. Of course, we've come a long way since those days. Today we have maps that are generated basically by satellite imaging. We have maps that allow us to chart a course of travel with absolute confidence. In fact, it is so accurate now, it can actually tell you how far it is to the next turn, you know. And of course, with the GPS, not only can we see the map, but it even talks to us, right? It talks to us. This has nothing to do with the message, but years ago when we were in the States, we bought a Garmin GPS, okay? And because I'm notorious for getting lost. And so we bought a Garmin GPS, and my oldest son, Caleb, he was playing with it one day on the settings, and of course, there was this, I don't know why, it's always a woman's voice. Now, I hate being told what to do by a woman, but anyway. And so my son was going through, and he was going through, and he said, "Hey, Dad, you can choose different voices." And I said, "Well, let's listen to what they have there." And so, sure enough, they actually had a Filipino voice. And my son said, "Look, Dad, Brother Rudy is on our GPS. It sounded just like you, Brother Rudy." But anyway, today we have GPS, and they can tell us how far it is to the next turn, which way we need to turn, all that kind of stuff. And because of all the technology that we have, it has taken a lot of the fear out of going to someplace new. It's taken a lot of the fear out of traveling to some place we've never been before. However, I have to confess, there have been times when I was traveling in a place and I did not know the way, and then I saw that terrible message on my GPS screen. It said, "Lost satellite reception." Boy, that's a frightening thing. That's a frightening thing. But you know, the same thing is true in life, if you stop and think about it. The same thing is true in life, because there are times along the pathway of life that we find ourselves in a place that's totally new. We find ourselves in circumstances that we've never been there before. We've never experienced anything like that before. And that's what we're going to be dealing with as we come to our text here, Joshua chapter 3. After some 400 years in bondage there in the land of Egypt, you remember the Lord God had commanded Moses to lead them, to lead His chosen people out of the land of Egypt, right? But there was more. You see, not only was Moses commanded to lead them out of Egypt, he was also commanded to lead them into the land of Canaan. He was to lead them to the place of promise. But you know the story, how that because of their failure to believe the promises of God and their failure to obey the command of God, and because of their rebellion against God at that place called Kadesh Barnea, you remember that God commanded that for this rebellion they were going to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. For 40 years they're going to wander in the wilderness. And in fact, the Lord declared that every person that was age 20 years and older is going to die in the wilderness. They're going to be buried in the wilderness, and they will never see the fulfillment of all that God promised for them as a people because of their rebellion. By the way, rebellion against God always has a very expensive price tag. It's true for the unsaved, and it's true for the believer as well. You can rebel against God if you choose to, and that is your choice. Just understand, choices have consequences. Choices have consequences. And so God said, for 40 years, you're going to wander in the wilderness, and no one who is older than 20 years of age is ever going to see the land that I promised. Because of their rebellion, they're going to die, they're going to be buried in the wilderness. Well, now the period of wandering has ended. Now they're getting ready, finally, they're getting ready to cross over into the land that God is going to give to them. And I want you to notice that in our text, Joshua chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over." And so they've come up from Egypt, they come through the wilderness, now they're on the east side of the Jordan River, just looking across the Jordan, there's the land God promised. And that's where they're camped. They're camped on the east side, looking, they can see the land that God has promised to them. And certainly their hearts are filled with a little bit of nervousness. Because they're entering into a new place, it's a new situation, new circumstances. And just like us, when we face something new, we get a little bit nervous, don't we? We get a little bit nervous. But then I want you to notice that chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 3, the story continues, and it says that it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and they commanded the people. In other words, they're getting ready to cross over, and now the officers come through and they're giving some instructions to the people before they make the journey to the other side of the Jordan. For the next few minutes this morning, I want us to notice two things that the people of Israel were commanded to do. I want us to notice a couple of things that they were commanded to do that would cause their hearts to be filled with confidence as they anticipated their future. And these same things can give us confidence if we'll listen to it. These same things can give us confidence as we anticipate the coming of a new year, coming of a new decade. Same things can give us confidence. And so let's notice them together. Number one, as the officers passed through the people and they began to give instructions, the first thing that they did was, number one, they commanded that the people were to follow God. That the people were to follow God. I want you to notice a couple of things that we find in our text. First of all, letter A, let's notice the command itself. The command itself. The command is given in Joshua chapter 3, verse 3 and verse number 4. Here's what it says. It says, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it." In other words, when you see the ark going, then you follow. You follow the ark. Verse number 4, "Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must..." Did you notice it? You follow the ark. Why? Well, because that's how you're going to know the way you ought to go. That's how you're going to know the direction you need to follow. You follow the ark. You follow the ark. In other words, the command was very simple. They're to follow the ark. And the reason why that is so important is because when we consider the ark, When we consider that instrument called the Ark of the Covenant, there's a couple of things we need to remember about that Ark. First of all, we need to remember that in that Ark was the very presence of God. The presence of God was there. You remember in Exodus chapter 25, verse 21 and verse number 22, Moses said, "Thou shalt put the mercy," or God said to Moses, "Thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark," verse 22, "and there I," that's the Lord God, "there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony." On those cherubims that had their wings outstretched over the mercy seat, which was on top of the ark, God said, "That's where I'm going to dwell. That's the place where I'm going to meet with you. That's the place from which I'm going to speak with you." And so therefore the Bible describes the ark in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible describes the ark as the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. That's where he's at. That's where he dwells. And so to follow the ark was to follow God, because the ark was where God dwelt among his chosen people. But not only does it represent the presence of God, we need to also remember that when it comes to the Ark of the Covenant, not only was the presence of God there, but also the Word of God was there. The Word of God was there. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 4 and verse number 5, Moses is writing and he tells the people of Israel, he reminds them how that the Lord God wrote. He wrote on the tables according to the first writing. That's those stone tablets that held the law. And he wrote on the tablets, according to the first writing, the Ten Commandments, which the Lord spake unto you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And the Lord gave them unto me. Well, Moses, what did you do with them? Verse number 5. And I turned myself and came down from the mount and put the tables in the ark, which I had made. And there they be. There they be, as the Lord commanded me. As the Lord commanded me. You see, when the people were following the ark, the point is simply this. Not only were they following the presence of the Lord, they were following the Word of God. They were following the Word of God. Let me just say to you this morning that no man, no woman can be following the Lord God if they're walking in rebellion against His Word. No man can be following the Lord as they should if they're not following obediently to what the Word of God says. And so as Israel prepared to enter into the new land, Joshua commanded them, sent the officers among the people. The command was very simple. You follow the ark. You follow the Lord God. You follow His Word. I want you to notice letter B, not only the command, but letter B, I want you to notice, here's the reason. Here's the reason. And the reason is very simply stated, and this is where we found, or where we have taken for this sermon, the title. The reason is simply stated, ye, Joshua 3, 4, ye have not passed this way heretofore. Never been here before. You've never been this way before. You see, the people of Israel were to diligently follow after the ark of the Lord because they did not know where they were going. And they did not know what difficulties they're going to encounter along the way. And they did not know what enemies they're going to be coming up against. And they did not know what challenges they're going to find as they enter into this new land with all of the opportunities and yet all of the hidden dangers that they've never even yet realized. And in the very same way, we're on the verge of entering into a new year. Just like the nation of Israel. Just like the nation of Israel, we've never been this way before either. None of us have ever lived through 2020 before. Some may be old enough, they lived through 2020 B.C. But we've never been this way before, right? We've never been this way before. Truth of the matter is, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, much less next year or in the next decade. We don't know. We don't know what challenges we're going to face. We don't know what temptations or opportunities are going to come our way. We don't know what hardships or what victories we may encounter. We do not know what times of rejoicing and what times of heartache may come upon us. We don't know any of those things. We don't know any of those things. Because the way in the future is unknown to us, and therefore we need to be, just like Israel, we need to be divinely directed. Divinely directed in every area of our life. We need to be divinely directed. And the only way that we can have God's direction in this coming new year is when we have the same two things that the nation of Israel had. We need the same two things that the nation of Israel had. Number one, we need the presence of God. We need the presence of God. Now, in this New Testament age, you understand it's very different from Old Testament times. In this New Testament age, because of Calvary and because of the grace of God that works in the world today, because of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross of Calvary, we do not carry God in a box. Nor do we stick Him on the dashboard of our car. I'll just mention that. We don't do that. No, rather, He is in our heart. He lives inside of us. That's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God?" As a believer in Jesus Christ, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. He dwells in you, and you are now His temple. But not only does the Lord God dwell within us, we need to also remember that in our hands, we hold the Word of God. In our hands, we hold the Word of God. And oh, what a precious Word it is that we have this morning. I hope you realize what a blessed gift you have when God gave you this book we call the Bible. I hope you understand that it's only through this book that we're ever going to have the wisdom that we need to navigate through this world. You see, the Bible is the source of our wisdom. Psalm 119, verse 98, "Thou through Thy commandments," notice it, "Thou through Thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they're ever with me." It's the Word of God that gives us the wisdom that we need and gives us a wisdom that is far greater than anything this world can understand. That's what the Word of God does. It gives us wisdom. Not only does the Word of God give the wisdom, but I think you also need to understand the Word of God gives direction. It gives direction in Psalm 119, verse 105. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway." You ever stop and think about what that means? It's a lamp to your feet. What that means is that the God of the Bible, He gives us this light, and it doesn't shine all the way to the end of our life. That's the way we would like it to be, right? Yeah, show me how this is all going to end up, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to follow you. That's our way of thinking. But David said, God's Word, it's a lamp to our feet. What that means is simply this. As we get into the Word of God, God says, now this is a step I want you to take. Okay, very good. This is the next step. Very good. Now, this is, see, step by step. His Word, it's a lamp to our feet. And it's a light for the path. A light for the path. In other words, when it comes to making decisions in this coming year, it's the Word of God that will give to us the light that we need in order to make the right choices in our life. When we start making choices on our own without depending on the Word of God, let me just tell you right now, most of our choices are going to be wrong. Because we're operating by the flesh instead of by the Spirit. It's the Word of God that helps us to make the right choices. As we follow His Word, He gives us the wisdom to make the right choices in our life. And that's why David's prayer, and it's a prayer that all of us ought to be praying, especially as we anticipate the coming of a new year. Psalm 119, verse 133. Order my steps. Order my steps in Thy Word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That's the prayer we ought to pray. That God, through His Word, will direct our steps. He will order our steps. He will show us the way that we ought to go in the decisions that we face throughout our life. God's Word, it gives us wisdom. It gives us direction. There's a third thing I would mention, and that is this. It gives protection. It gives us protection. The Bible says in Psalm 37, in verse number 31, the law of the Lord is in His heart. Get this. The law of the Lord is in His heart. Here's the result. None of His steps shall slide. You know, one of the heartbreaking things about ministry is that far too many times we see people whose feet slide. It started out well. They're walking well, but then something comes along and they just kind of slide away. They slide off the path that they ought to be walking on. But you know what? When the law of God is in our heart, when His Word is our direction, His Word is our wisdom, then it protects us. Our feet will not slide. And because David understood that great truth, here's what he said, Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy Word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against Thee. That I might not sin against Thee. The success of the nation of Israel, the success of the nation of Israel as they entered into their new land, their success was totally dependent on how they followed the Ark of God. In other words, how they followed His presence and how they followed His Word. And the reason was simply because of the fact they'd never been that way before. They'd never been that way before. The very same thing is true as we look forward to a new year. That's why an unnamed author, I think his name was Anonymous. But he wrote these words. I am the new year. I am an unspoiled page in your book of time. I'm your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you have learned about life during the last 12 months. I'm your opportunity to renew your allegiance to Him who said, Behold, I make all things new. Not only was the nation of Israel commanded to follow God, but I want you to notice there's another thing that they were commanded to do as they anticipated moving into this next phase, moving into this place where they've never been before, this new land with all of its opportunities and yet all of its fears. As they prepared to move in, not only were they to follow God, but number two, they were to sanctify themselves. They're to sanctify themselves. And again, there are two things that I want us to notice, and basically the same two things that we saw in the previous point. Letter A, notice the command. Verse number 5 of Joshua chapter 3, Joshua said unto the people, here's the command, very simple, sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. The idea behind that word sanctify is that the people of Israel were to dedicate themselves completely to the Lord God. They're to dedicate themselves completely to God by putting away everything, whether it be an attitude or an action. They're to put away everything that would hinder them in following the Lord. They're to put away everything that would hinder their relationship with God. In other words, when they came, were ordered to sanctify themselves, it was simply that they were commanded to determine in their own heart that they're going to be what God wants them to be, and they're going to do what God wants them to do, and everything else will be put away. The command. But then I want you to notice, letter B, the reason. And the reason is found in verse number 5 at the end of the verse. The reason is very simply stated, Joshua 3:5, for tomorrow. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. The Lord will do wonders. You see, bottom line, the success of Israel in their new land would always be dependent on the choices that they made in their life. Their success in the new land would always be dependent on the choices. They could choose to ignore God. They could choose to go their own way, do their own thing. Or they can choose to live a life that is clean and right and holy before God. Choice. It's their choice. The same thing is true for us as well. That's why the Apostle Paul, encouraging Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, said, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ..." Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you name His name? Translation is, do you call yourself a Christian? You claim to be a child of God? Do you call yourself by His name? Then here's the command. If you are one who names the name of Christ, then depart from iniquity. That's the command. Depart from iniquity. And the reason why we should heed this command is simply because of the fact that sin will always bring about tragic consequences. I never cease to be amazed talking to people how that so many times I've heard people say something to this effect. Not exactly these words, but something to this effect. I'm not going to obey God, and I'm not going to obey the Word of God because I want to do things my way so I'll be happy. And then you look at their life, and they're everything but happy. In fact, they're the most miserable people you've ever met. And not only are they miserable for themselves, but they bring misery to people around them. Simply because they refuse to do what they ought to do. By our choices to do wrong, we miss the joys, we miss the blessings, we miss the peace that God desires for us to have as His children. And by our choice to do wrong, we miss the opportunities to serve Him, to minister for Him, and to worship Him as we should. Someone has well noted that a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. Think about that. A wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. If God spares our lives through this new year, each one of us is going to start the year with the same number of fresh opportunities. There are 365. No, wait a minute. I've already been corrected about this once today. This is a leap year. The number of opportunities has actually increased. It's not 360, now it's 366. 366 golden opportunities. 366 golden opportunities to be what we ought to be. And we can choose to either use those opportunities, we can choose to invest those opportunities in the pursuit of things eternal that will honor and glorify God, or we can choose to use those opportunities to be wasted seeking only to after those things that bring a temporary satisfaction, because they are not eternal, but they're worldly and fleshly. As we enter into this new year, we're entering into a place we've never been before. And so as we prepare to navigate our way through this upcoming year successfully, I don't think anybody looks forward to the year and says, well, you know, I think here's my goal for 2020. I want to be a miserable failure. I don't think anybody's going to have that wish. If you do, we need to talk, okay? I don't think anybody's going to have that wish. But here's the thing. If we are going to be successful in our life, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to be what God wants us to be, then we have to make wise choices. We have to make the choice that every day of this new year, in fact, we ought to go ahead and make the decision that for every day of the rest of our life, we're not going to waste our time. We're not going to waste the days that God gives to us. But rather, we're going to fully follow after the Lord God, just like Israel followed after the ark. And we need to determine that we're going to fully obey the Word of God, just as Israel determined they were going to follow the Word of God. And we need to determine that we're going to be fully yielded to the will of God. And let me say this. If you're here this morning and you have never been born again by the grace of God, if you're here this morning and you do not sometime in your life remember a time when you understood that before God you are a sinner who has broken His law and offended His holiness. There's never been a time in your life when you decided that you understood that was your condition, but then you also understood that Jesus Christ came and died for you on the cross of Calvary in order that you might be delivered from the eternal consequences of your sin. And I want to say to you this morning that the very best way for you to begin this new year that's going to be on us here in just a couple of days, the very best way for you to begin this new year is by putting your faith and trust in Christ. And we would love to help you with that this morning. If you would give us the opportunity, we would love to sit down with you and from the Word of God show you how you can know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that now you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning as a believer, you are a child of God. Let me just say to you that the very best way for you to begin the new year is by asking God, first of all, ask God to forgive you and to cleanse you for all the failures of this past year. And by the way, we all have them, right?
Right.
Thank you, Brother Maverick. I'm glad I'm not the only one. I was worried there for a second. Yeah, we all have them. We all have them. Ask God to forgive you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But then also dedicate yourself afresh and anew to obediently follow Him, to obediently serve Him through all the days of this new year that God has given to us. Folks, don't allow the wasted days to pile up in your life and become wasted years. Let's start today to change things. Let's start today to allow God to make a difference in our heart and in our life as we follow Him, as we follow His Word. May God help that to be so.